before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Ah, yes, episode 136 of The Sports Trench is here. And after a disappearing act during Magic Round, we are back, Muffy. And it's only the dynamic duo now. No Foolsy. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. I think we're recovering from not having our little mate with us last week. Is that what we're going with?
No.
Okay,
I just don't think we really ever got organised. Work got in the way of a lot of things last week, unfortunately, and made things a little bit more difficult. Only two of us. That's a lot more work.
That's true. And we got to talk for a bit longer. Or we don't have to.
No.
We can snap through this.
We could. Are we going to?
Sure.
Our history suggests we probably won't.
Right.
How was your weekend, mate?
What did I do in the week? Oh. I was a house husband this weekend.
Oh. Yes.
A lot of washing.
Mm.
But while I was doing the washing, I caught up on some Marvel. I'm well behind on the Marvel series, Pete.
Right.
Everyone's talking about Endgame. Right. And I can't go and watch it because I haven't seen half of what I need to say.
I heard a rumor someone gave you a spoiler.
Yes.
We won't say it to anyone else just in case people haven't gone to see it, but I heard a rumor.
Someone
at work.
Someone slipped a spoiler.
Unobvious in their spoiler.
Well, they were talking in code, but their code was rubbish. And I was like, I know what you're talking about, and you have just given away a big spoiler. And they're like, oh, no, you know. I went, yes, I do know exactly what you're talking about. Anyway. I caught up on a couple of Marvel movies. So I think if I'm look, because I looked online and you could watch them in order or how you should watch them, you know. Because apparently they jump around a bit.
I've seen your order. It's rubbish. But anyway, go on.
It's not my order.
It is. It's the order you're watching it in. It's rubbish.
The interwebs order.
Yeah, okay. Go on.
Anyway, so I think now, after catching up on a few, I'm up to the second Avengers movie, I think. Age of Ultron. So I'm getting there.
You are so far behind.
How up to date are you on Game of Thrones, Pete?
Boom. We could both spoil things for each other.
one show nerd to another.
Yes.
Done.
You make a fair point.
So, anyway, yes. So that was my weekend.
Right. There you go.
It was good. Good. And what did you get up to?
Ended up on a road trip, despite it being a bye round. I went and was the assistant coach for the women's side.
Is that a promotion or a demotion?
Look, it's a demotion, but I'm quite happy to be the assistant because then I don't have to do as much. I just blame the head coach for everything else.
Right. Do you sit on the bench or do you still get up and walk around? No. Pace the sideline?
No, just sit on the bench.
And do what?
Shoot the shit. Basically, just sit there, talk some trash.
Do you get angry as an assistant coach?
Nah, not really.
Okay.
I have no responsibility.
So your heart's not in as an assistant?
No, it's right. In it. I'm just, I have no need to be angry. That's the head coach's job.
Right.
Anyway.
Did you win?
Won both games. Double header.
Well, I'd stick as an assistant then. You got a better record.
You're right. I'm 3-0 as an assistant this year. And as a head coach, I'm 4-4. So yeah.
You're a much better bridesmaid. Stick with that.
I'm a very pretty one. Anyway, what do we got this week? Well, we're going to wrap up Magic Round. We're going to preview Round 10. Going to discuss some Origin. Got some questions for you. Going to throw them at you anyway.
Sure, I'm very prepared for these questions.
Yeah, I know you are. And we'll talk some Supercoach. But before all that, we should probably jump on with the news.
The good, the bad, and the
magic
from from the trenches.
That's the only word I had. I couldn't think of anything else. I'd spare at the moment. No foolsy here. Anyway, what do we think of Magic Round, Muffy? The NRL's come out and said that the surface was fine. The Suncorp Stadium surface held up to the rigours of all eight NRL games.
Well, it did. It held up the same way as, I don't know, something held up with eight sets of teams on it. Like, honestly. It was good.
What a good analogy that was this morning. You're on fire.
Thank you very much, everybody. This is early morning wit coming at you. Basically, it started off a lovely shade of green and it ended with a shade of grey. It went grey.
Look, it probably started out in the soft 5 to good 4 range.
Ooh, and ended up with a hard 20.
And it probably ended up in a firm 3 or whatever it is.
Oh, you get backwards, don't you?
Yeah, you firm.
A 20 would be like swimming.
A firm 2 or whatever it is, like not good.
Concrete.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably where it ended up.
Mm.
Didn't look great.
Didn't look great, but I mean, there wasn't some injuries out of the round, but I don't know whether that was... I don't think any of those injuries you would attribute to the surface.
Well, so initially I thought it might have been because a lot of players were digging in and legs were getting caught up in the surface and stuff like that. However, some analysis by Fox Sports came up with that the surface... the number of injuries was no more than the corresponding round last year.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
wasn't a Magic Round.
Yeah, there were some ACLs and stuff, but that was because that was like people landing on people and it wasn't anything.
No, that wasn't turf related. I think, though, Latrell Mitchell's possibly was turf related because his leg got caught in the turf scoring that try. And I think there was one or two others. But yeah, look, I thought it was good. It did hold up and it was a good round.
I didn't see, I mean, I saw the crowd figures for every game, but I didn't see like the overall crowd figure. But obviously, you bought, if there was, you know, two games on a day or three games on one day, you buy one ticket and you get
the whole day.
The whole three games. So the crowd figures are a little bit inflated.
Oh, of course. People would have popped in and out, chose what games they wanted to see.
Well, people would have, yeah. On the Sunday, I think, you know, most people would have stayed for both games because they were, you know, they were decent games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Saturday.
Second one was a decent game if you're a Bunnies fan.
Saturday, the three games, I probably wouldn't have been there for all three of those games.
You would have gone there for the first game, Pete, and then just
I would have gone for all three, but, the first game
and
was...
seen them get robbed.
Yeah.
Or robbed, Pete.
They were. We'll get to that. Okay, calm down. I've already got that in my...
Robbed.
Yeah, I know. I've already got that there, all right? You need to calm down. I'm going to let you talk about that.
Thank you.
Anyway, all right, moving on. Second story about the Eels. Brad Arthur has re-signed with the Eels for 2 more years amid rumours that Gutherson has a $2 million 3-year deal on the table, and basically if he doesn't sign it at the end of this week, they're going to pull the deal.
Well, and reports this morning is that Gutherson's made his own deadline, which is
correct.
End of this week. So no, it's like
early next week. So his own deadline's early next week. They want a 4th year on the deal.
Right.
So that's the report.
What's he doing? Sign it, mate. Sign it. Get it done.
I don't think Gutherson's the problem here. I think the Eels are actually the problem here. I think they're gambling.
As in, you don't...
I think they're gambling on the fact that Manly don't really have a fullback spot for him. So they're just going to play hardball and wait him out. And his injury history is an issue. But I wouldn't be playing with fire because you're going to get burnt.
You should come to the Dogs.
That's the thing. Like, what if
we can't afford him though? But you should come to the Dogs.
What if someone can though? What if they can give him a 4th year and an extra $100,000? Like, all of a sudden, $100,000 a year, $300,000 more, and he gets a 4th year. He's looking at what, nearly $3 million. Like,
yeah,
over 4 years. Like, I'd be taking that.
Absolutely.
Anyway. All right, then we should probably move on, I think, to Ward 4.
Sure, Pete.
Damn it.
I'm getting ready. I just got to, here we go.
Messy me, that could have put him in Ward 4.
The sports trenches.
I hope not, Bill. That's a maternity ward.
Ward 4.
I need my little mate to be a filler.
He's not here.
He's not here.
No. He's in Africa.
He's in South Africa.
Yeah.
Did you see there was some pictures already on Facebook? He's already knee deep in the safari.
I did see some pictures. He hasn't been caught up in political protests and isn't yet dead, but there's still time.
No, every photo he just seems to be on one of those open top safari buses looking at elephants and lions and stuff. He looks like he's having a good time.
He's supposed to be camping at some point.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to go. I don't think they're real prepared. After their one trip down to the south coast in winter.
Well, that's at least they went south, which is where they are in Africa.
Yeah, but they went in winter.
That's the correspondence. That's about as close as they get to matching the conditions that they would see.
They went south. They went south and they went camping. Anyway, I'm not getting into it again. All right, Ward 4 this week. Sivo, he's suspended. He's out for a week. Rapana, he's got a knee injury. PCL, he's out until round 14. Edric Lee's got a foot injury. Curtis Scott has a fractured foot. He's out until round 22. Jack Bird has a knee ACL. He's done for the season. Daniel Tupu has a neck injury. He's out for at least a week. Latrell Mitchell has a groin injury. He's been named, but we'll see whether or not he plays. Connor Watson has an ankle injury. Andrew Fifita has a hamstring injury. Again, he's been named. Matt Pryor also has a shoulder injury. He's also been named. Appy Korosau has a calf injury. Tofoa Sipley has a knee, ACL as well. He's out for the season. Boyd Cordner had a concussion during the game and is potentially out this week. John Sutton has a rib injury and is being monitored. Adam Elliott had a leg injury. He's out for an undisclosed period at this point in time. Jerome Hughes has a concussion. He's out for 1 week. Moses Sully has a finger injury. He's out to round 15. Michael Gordon, leg. And Alex Johnston, knee.
Yeah, just a small round for Ward 4 this week.
Yeah.
Whoa, I knew there was a few key ones out. I didn't think there was that many.
There's a lot.
Was that all from this round, or that's just some carryovers from previous rounds as well?
No, that's all this week.
Wow.
Yep.
So who busted their digit?
Moses Sully.
Yeah, because old mate's coming in, isn't he? That's good timing.
Dylan Walker, yes, he's returned after he's been found not guilty of domestic violence.
I think it's best if we don't comment on that because I've got a lot of things to say about that, and it's contrary to what the ruling is, I think.
I don't think you'd be incorrect if you said those things, Stephen.
Just ridiculous.
Anyway. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of Ward 4. Are you actually ready this time?
I'm ready, mate.
Need some filler. No? Okay. You're good? All right. Let's do it. Round 9 review. Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts. I do believe in magic. Oh, you just stopped it there. You didn't want to fade it out, no?
Oh, no, that's the intro, Pete. You don't fade out the intros.
Oh, yeah, but you could have done that. It would have been nice. Little bed underneath as I kept going. Anyway. You've ruined everything. All right.
Next segment, I'll do better.
Thursday, 9 May, Sharks 26 defeating the Titans 18. Muffy.
The kickoff of Magic Round. On paper, you looked at this game and went, it's not the most exciting game to kick off a round that's been hyped. But... Look, to the Titans' credit, they actually came out and really stuck it to the Sharks in the first half. And in fact, they took a first half lead against the Sharks, who, again, have been okay this year. They've been winning. They've been a silent assassin, I think. They've been winning a lot of games, but winning ugly. And obviously, you know, they've been hit with the injury bug a little bit as well. But Titans, yeah, they had three first half tries from Copley, Brimson and Tyrone Peachy, who actually didn't play. He played okay in this game. I think he is so rocks or diamonds.
Well, he gave away the penalty that put the Sharks back on back in front.
Towards the end of the game too, I think he gave away another penalty that marched them down further. And then Gallen scored, but I mean that was the game was pretty much
done anyway.
But he did
stupid things that you shouldn't be doing
and
anyway.
This is what happens for the Sharks. Josh Morris, Pete.
He was very, very, very good.
So good, in fact. You know, he's getting talked about for backline origin.
Yeah.
I don't think it's...
It can't happen.
I don't think it should happen. I mean, he retired, didn't he? They both retired?
No, I don't believe he's retired.
I thought both of them retired from representative.
I don't believe he's retired, but one game does not make a season. Whilst he's been solid, he was excellent and looked very quick in this game.
Look, I love him like a twin brother. I do. I really do. But
he's just not your twin brother?
No. Not to toot my own horn, but I'm a little bit better looking than the Morrises. You don't have to agree with me. I know that look says it all. So Josh Morris got two tries. Aaron Gray came back into the side and he got a couple. And as we mentioned, Paul Gallen iced it at the end. So in the end, an eight point margin, which in fact I picked, Pete, an 8 point margin in the tipping comp.
Did you just?
I did.
We'll get to that a little bit later. You've got to do a bit of an update on that. I'm sure you're very prepared for the tipping comp update.
Oh, like all over it.
Good. Excellent. All right. Look, Sharks should not have been in this game, should not have got the win, and didn't deserve to get the win. And poor discipline by the Titans cost them.
That's right. And out of this game for the Titans, as you mentioned, Pete, Michael Gordon copped an injury in this one, which is not going to be good for them.
AJ Brimson to fullback is actually a good player.
He's very good at fullback. I do like the fact that, I mean, it's crazy that they kept him out of AJ Brimson out of the side for the first, you know, what, 4 or 5 weeks and just would bring him in as an emergency.
I think his fullback is his best spot, though.
Yeah, I think he's got to be in the team. Like, I actually really do think he's a good player.
No, I don't. I think 5'8 is bad for him. I think he needs to be at fullback.
Well, but I think he's got to be in this. I think he's in their best 17 players, and I think he needs to be in the team somewhere.
I disagree.
Reckon he's in the best 17?
I think he is talented enough to be in the best 17, but I don't think he is good enough to play out of position, and I think fullback is his position.
So you reckon, are you saying $2.20 Tyrone is the better option in the halves?
Yeah, I am, 100%.
Does that mean he goes up in money?
No, he's $2 still. He's gone down. He's $2. He's been injured too much. He's not worth the price of admission anymore. Anyway, moving on. Friday, 10 May, Tigers 30, defeating the Panthers 4. Tigers were going at a point a minute in this one, and it was all over within the first 20 minutes. I was getting some messages from a young Foolsy and a few other Panthers fans, Rangers, and another fan, a friend of ours, Al. Al said he was looking for a new club to support, so that's how good it's going for Panthers fans at the moment.
Well, the first three sets from the Tigers come up with 18 points.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was 24-0 after scoring 5 tries in 20 minutes. Like, the Panthers just didn't even show up in this one. Dean Huare scored in the 28th minute. And then Isan Masters scored in the 67th, and that was it. Like, you thought this game was going to be a 50-6 drubbing or something like that. But the points just dried up, and all of a sudden the Panthers got in the arm wrestle, and it was a much different game.
The score could have been bigger. Isan Masters only kicked 2 from 6.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
Conversions.
Yeah. Tigers had 55% possession, 80% completion. Panthers had 69% completion and 41 missed tackles.
Horrible.
That's ridiculous. Like, that's just the tail of the tape right there. Like, I don't know what's going on at the Panthers.
Well, again,
rid of your director of football. He's supposed to be the problem. Don't think he was the problem.
Yeah, and obviously no one wants to come out and say that there's problems with the coach and the players don't have the respect to the coach, or vice versa, the coach doesn't have the respect to the players. No one wants to say that on a coach that they literally went out and fought tooth and nail to bring to the club. So I don't know.
Do you reckon there's some backlash because Ivan wanted to coach Nathan, and do you reckon there's some player backlash of, well, you know, Nathan can do whatever he wants and...
Possibly. I mean, there might be... I mean, James Maloney has had, quite honestly, one of his worst starts to a season that I've seen. Maybe, you know, I'm assuming that he would be the sort of player that would have a lot of support within
the playing group.
Yeah. And maybe people think that he's been... I mean, I don't know. This is all speculation, of course. But
of course.
Something is very, very wrong in that Panthers makeup. And the side
has... That's why we get paid the big bucks, though, to speculate on these
things. That's exactly true.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Well, in that case, let me go wild.
Look, if they're winning games, no one speculates about anything. Whenever a team's losing, you start to ask some questions. And if you're not getting better, they're not even in the fight in games at the moment. They are just getting worse and worse every week.
Well, he's wielded the axe this week, which we'll go into later in the show. But there has been some big changes at the Panthers based on this matchup. And again, for the Tigers, this would have been a super... They would have targeted this game. This is the second time they played them this year, but they would have targeted this game again, knowing full well that, you know, that was their coach last year, and they've really just rubbed
absolutely.
It in.
Absolutely, and they got up for it again.
Five tries in under 20 minutes is... That was it. That just put him right on the back foot, and they weren't on the back foot before that.
Luke Brooks was good early on in this game, but he's got a tendency to be a bit like his mate Mitchell Moses in the fact that they're both rocks or diamonds, and they can be both rocks or diamonds in the same game. So I couldn't pick him for Origin like there's talk at the moment. Anyway, all right, moving on. Friday, 10 May, Broncos 26 defeating the Sea Eagles 10. Muffy.
As you would expect, this game had the biggest attendance of the round, 41,300. And this was on a khaki green surface. This was played on, Pete.
Good. We're going to get to an olive green at some point?
Yes.
Yeah, good, yep. Good. We're moving down the scale, though.
Well, the Raiders didn't play on Raiders green. Let me give you the tip there.
Yeah, right. It wasn't a lime green. All right.
No, it wasn't lime green.
All right.
The Broncos, yes, they started off a bit slowly in this one. Coruscant got over in the first 10 minutes to get the Sea Eagles on board. But in a very tight first half, Milford ended up scoring about 5 minutes from halftime, which in a game where I thought he pretty much played his best game of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pretty soft try too.
And again, you know, I think now he's been forced. I mean, everyone's been saying it before Nikorima left that he had to take control. He had to be the halfback, the controlling half. And I think now it's forced his hand with the young guys coming in. And he played really well. There was no doubt his kicking game was great. His positional play was even better. He was the spark that the Broncos have been crying out for. They've got a really good...
It's whether or not he can back it up week to week.
Well, and this is the problem. Now people know that, you know, that's what he's doing, then he'll get targeted more and more. And then, you know, once he gets targeted, then it'll fall on the young... What's the young guy's name again?
Thomas Dearden? Dearden? Dearden, I think it might be.
So it'll fall on him.
I think it's Dearden, though.
Yeah. But I think this was a pretty decent win, considering that McCulloch was also out, so they had Turpin in it at the hooker spot. They had some inexperience up against the Seagulls side, who again were missing players for injury, but have shown that, you know, they've been able to compete with teams over the last few weeks with those injury concerns. What else happened in this game? Let's have a look at some stats here, Pete.
The Seagulls fell apart in this game, and it was due to happen anyway, based on the fact that they were missing so many guys for so long. They do need to get those other guys back to really make that machine run well. Dylan Walker being back might be a little bit of a spark. Hopefully, Trbojevic in the next few weeks, and same with DCE.
Yeah, I think Manly will welcome back, you know, a couple of players that they've been missing, but I'd be very surprised if Dylan Walker has impact straight away. I think it'll take him. He's been, you know, what, he hasn't played... What round are we in now? 10?
Yeah, 10 rounds.
And has he been allowed to train with
the
team?
It'll probably take... I don't know. He might have been allowed to train with the team. I know he definitely... there was an article saying he's been doing extras, so it's probably to get himself ready to play. So,
So... just quick a few stats. Obviously, Pete, as you said, they fell apart. They only had 41% completion, the Seagulls, compared to 59% for the Broncos. Possession, the Broncos, had a lot more. Obviously, completion rate was a lot better as well, 83% compared to 71%. And, you know, in front of that crowd, the Broncos, I mean, it was a pretty decent crowd. And again, Broncos home ground, home game, with a lot of good support. Yeah, it was just too much for the Seagulls, as you mentioned. And I think they'll bounce back, but I reckon it might take them a couple of weeks.
Mm. Fair enough. Moving on, Saturday, 11 May, Knights 22, defeating the Bulldogs 10.
Do you want me to just take over here and rant, speculate all I want?
I'm just going to say some things, and then I'm going to let you rant. Bulldogs had 51% of the possession, 74% completion, 38 missed tackles. That'll cost you. Knights, 82% completion, 8 missed tackles. That's a big difference. Clemmer had 48 tackles, 162 metres. Napa had 19 tackles, 182 metres. Those two were the best of the forwards. They looked great leading into Origin. Muffy, Bulldogs were robbed in this game. Let's talk about it.
All right. Well, before I start talking about the being robbed, the lineup debacle before this game even started was just ridiculous. Dean Pay comes out and starts talking about his team needs to man up in defence. Defence, defence, defence. All right. Fair enough. Call him out in public, that's fine. But what are you going to do? I'm going to go bench Reece Martin, who is an 80-minute player who just has the biggest motor and, you know, will give his all every game. You take out Kieran Holland, who, again, has been... He's pretty dynamic in the centres. He may have had a bit of a few rough games. But you bring in Marcelo Montoya, who is the worst defender in the history of NRL. Honestly.
He's very bad, yes.
You bring him in, and you're talking about defence. It's like, Dean Pay, your credibility at the moment, for me, it's like, you need to watch some of these guys closely.
Was a try scored down Montoya's side of the field?
I think Heimel Hunt's on that side, and he scored in 6 minutes. Didn't take long. Like, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not 100% sure whether it was Montoya's fault, but hey, let's blame him anyway. He's back in the side this week. They haven't obviously changed it. But yeah, so I thought the reshuffle before the game was, you know, it wasn't necessary. Like, if you're going to do that, name your team that you're going to play. Like, because players actually you know, travelled with the team up there and then was told, you know, on the Wednesday or the Thursday, sorry, you're not playing. Even though you've been named and you travelled, but now we're going to bring some other one in.
Mm.
So anyway, so I think that probably didn't help the preparation for this game. Now, let's talk about the robbery that occurred, Pete.
Yep.
You've seen this, I'm assuming?
I have seen it. I just want you to rant. I want to hear your thoughts.
The Dogs were in a hole in this game. They were 16-0 down, and then they started to fight back in the second half. And the last sort of 10 minutes, they had all the momentum. They were... The game
got it
was
back to 16 to 10.
16 to 10. The game was back and forth. Both teams were making sort of, you know, sizable meterage in that last 10 minutes, but the Dogs were just on a roll. Tolman was taking it up. A lot of the forwards were just having quick play of the balls. The backs were chiming in. Remy Smith was doing some great runs out of dummy half. Had all the momentum. 40 metres out from the Newcastle line, Dogs were throwing the ball around on the fourth tackle. All of a sudden, Mitchell Pearce pops out of nowhere, gets hands in the ball. The ball goes straight up in the air, hits the deck. Newcastle Knights player picks it up, runs. The Dogs tackle him just over halfway. Play on. It's like, no, no, no. How can that be play on? The very next play, Kalyn Ponga did that fantastic step. Let's not take away from the step. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But he did that step because the Dogs were retreating in the defensive line, and he went through and scored and iced the game at 22-10. That was such a blatant knock-on. I'm still baffled as to why. Like, it wasn't even, like, a small one in the ruck. The ball went literally a couple of metres up in the air, hit the deck, off of Mitch, clearly off Pierce, and every single touch judge, ref on the field, just said play on. It was ridiculous.
It was not good. It was very bad, and considering no touch judge said anything... No, off the ball ref said anything. Like, surely someone saw that. Like,
well, and I didn't actually hear any apologies come out after the round, which I was pretty surprised about.
Mm.
I mean, not saying that cost them the game. I mean, they still
it did, and absolutely cost them the game.
They were still six. They were still behind by 6 points at that stage, but they had the momentum, and they would have. Had, you know, a good set of six at, because that would have been scrum feed, and then a good set of six at their line making big meters and a chance to tie it up with three or four minutes to go.
Yeah, exactly. That no, that cost them so, the game. Like,
so it cost, score. Them, it cost them a chance to, yeah, it cost them a
to tie
chance.
It up. Yeah, yeah. Look, it, okay, maybe they don't win. Maybe they don't kick the goal. All those sorts of things come into play.
But it just robbed them of the opportunity to, you know, to really... because they definitely had the momentum. But.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on then. Saturday, 11 May, Warriors 26 defeating the Dragons 18. Muffy, I've just got 1 point on this game. Who knows what to think about this game?
Well, I didn't get this. I didn't pick this one, and I don't know. Again, this would have been a toss.
The only one I didn't pick of the round. I had really? 7 for the round.
Well, see, yeah, I went the Bulldogs over the Knights, which was a bit of a... I didn't think I did that until I looked at the tips and went, I probably shouldn't have done that. I thought I was being tricky.
Yeah, no, this one cost me my perfect round. It would have been very nice. But anyway, I don't know what to think about this game. I don't know what to think about the Warriors. Like, I don't think they're good, but somehow they won this game. And I put it down to Corey Norman's missing for the Dragons.
Well, yeah, Corey Norman has been good, especially in clutch games for the Dragons, which they definitely needed him in this one. I saw the Warriors play, obviously, in the Anzac Day game live down in Melbourne, and they really held their own. Their forwards were really good, and their outside backs are forwards anyway. So the Warriors don't have a problem going forward and making meters and giving their half space. The problem I think they do have is the inconsistency of their young halves. I think that is probably the issue. Yeah,
they've got Nick Arima now. He's supposed to be the saviour.
Yeah, you don't believe that any more than I do. Like, I think he is he's a good player. I don't think he's proved himself to be a starting halfback week in, week out. I think he pigeonholed himself into that, Craig Wing utility bench player role, and I think it's going to be very tough for him to break that mold. I think, yeah, he will be the halfback for the rest of the year for the Warriors, barring injury, but I think he has to be because, you don't do a mid-season transfer like that if you're going to stick the guy on the bench.
Yeah.
And bring him as a utility.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
But 91% completion for the Warriors, they really controlled this game. So, and again, where is this? Where has this been consistently for the Warriors? But this is, this is Warriors football. 23 tackle breaks for the Warriors, which was pretty massive as well. The Dragons had a few injuries. Zach Lomax played well. He came in. He's been in the side for the last few weeks. I think he's a keeper for the Dragons. I think he'll cement that sort of centre spot. And he's a goal kicker to boot, which obviously can't hurt. And you've got Corey Norman, who's
not
playing.
Got to have him. He's too good. He was too good, and it should have been in the side from the start of the year somehow.
But, where does that put the Dragons on the ladder?
I don't know what to think of anything on this game. I really don't. I'm pissed because I didn't tip it, but the Dragons should have beat this team. This team's been poor over the last month since that Anzac Day game, and yet they lost the game.
But the Dragons definitely, they took a, 14-point lead into halftime?
Absolutely.
And then the Warriors were, just come out with, but I mean, the Warriors controlled the ball even in the first half. They just weren't getting, getting through the line properly. But half of football changes everything, and the Warriors win by what? Did they win by 8? They did. Same score as the first game of Magic Round.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. Saturday, 11 May, Storms 64 defeating the Eels 10. Holy macaroni.
Whoa. This has got to be the Storm's biggest win ever. I don't think I've ever seen the Storm in the 60s.
All those people who were looking for problems at the Storm the previous week with Munster and Smith, they were just shown exactly what the Storms are all about. Because this side bounced back the most perfect way possible, destroying the Eels. I could read all the tries. That'll take me 10 minutes. I'm not going to do that. A couple of things from this game. Storm had 57% possession, 82% completion. That'll probably do it. Eels missed 51 tackles.
Yeah, but
that'll also probably do it.
Yeah.
And the only other thing was Sivo's high hit on Hughes, which was pretty bad. He went to the bin for 10 minutes. Obviously, you can rack up some points there. But there were a lot of people saying he probably should have been sent off. And considering they lost Hughes for the game, I don't necessarily disagree.
Yeah, and he got suspended for just the 1 week, I think.
Just the 1 week.
Yeah, okay. But as you said, Pete, an absolute, 74 points in the game entirely. There was never a dull moment in this game, but I'm surprised that there was only 85% completion rate for the Storms. Every other
82.
Every other set of six they scored. Literally, that's pretty much how that stat works, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, Pete, in this game, Mitchell Moses, rocks or diamonds, he was the rockiest of rocks in this one.
The rockiest of rocks. Yeah, he wasn't good. Do you think the Brad Arthur, Clint Gutherson deal thing has been weighing the Eels down and possibly was an issue?
Well, if you ask, I'm sure maybe that question was probably asked in the post-game press conference. They would say definitely not, but from an outsider looking in, you've got to say it has to have some sort of effect.
They re-signed Arthur after this game.
They must have already had it in the works and just announced it or something.
Maybe, but they re-signed him after this game.
You can't, because I mean, Parramatta,
64-10, and then you re-sign the coach. Yeah, he's doing a good job.
You can't tell me that this team wasn't distracted in some way, shape, or form, because there's no way that, I mean, yes, Melbourne are a good team, we know that, but they haven't been the Melbourne of the last few seasons at the start of this, in the first nine rounds of this year, where Parramatta have come out and, you know, they've played the Roosters and they've had some really good wins. They've had some tough wins. They've had some tough losses, but they've hung in there for most games. This one was just an absolute blowout. Mm. So you can't tell me that something wasn't sort of upsetting the players or in the back of their minds in regards to whether it was the uncertainty of Brad Arthur not being signed as a coach yet. I don't know, but yeah, this was not a normal game for Eels and the Eels fans.
Absolutely. All right. Moving on to Sunday, 12 May. Roosters 30, defeating the Raiders 24. Muffy.
This is not the result you wanted, Pete, but I thought this was the game of the round. As in, just from a pure rugby league spectacle point of view, watching this game, the back and forth of this game, it was a sloppy game at times.
If Mitchell doesn't get injured, that scoreline isn't the scoreline it finishes with.
What about all the forward passes in this game? Well, supposed forward passes and actual forward passes.
Yeah, there were a couple that were borderline and I was like, okay.
I think the Raiders got gypped. They didn't come out on front in the forward pass scale.
No, but there were a couple that were borderline, but I can see why they were ruled not to be a forward pass. So I wasn't too upset with it. I thought our defence was poor. I thought Latrell Mitchell did whatever the hell he wanted early on. Same with James Tedesco. And we knew against the good sides, the Raiders would get shown up, and they've been shown up against the good sides so far. Melbourne and Roosters have destroyed them. They play the Rabbitohs this week. I think they're in big trouble again this week against a side that can attack like the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, but pardon the pun, well, cliche, but this was a game of two halves because the Roosters scored all of their points within 41 minutes. And then the Raiders had, I think Croker had a try in the first half as well. But then the Raiders then in the last 20 minutes just decided, okay, we can do this again. I think that's a bit of that's been the Raiders of old. They've done this before. They've really dropped off in the first half, but then they haven't been able to come back in the second half. So I think, like the previous game, it was encouraging that they actually were way behind, but then still didn't give up and still, you know, they were so close to tying this game right at the very end. I mean, the last try that they bombed it. I mean, yes, it was a forward pass, but they bombed it. They had 3-on-1 and they just couldn't get it out quick enough.
Mm.
So I think and their attack was there. They, again, you said, as Pete, that Latrell Mitchell went off, but he was back on the field at that point.
Yeah, he wasn't 100% though. You could see that.
And he got, well, we'll go through it in a bit later, but I'm assuming he's named this week.
He's been named, I don't know what's going to go on there.
So, yes, another loss for the Raiders. So that takes them 6 points out of from the top team. They've got a couple of, as you mentioned, they've got the Rabbitohs this week. So they've got some hard games, but, I think, I wouldn't discount them this weekend. I think they'll take some.
I 100% would.
I think they'll take positives out of the last weekend against the Roosters. I mean, the Roosters are the top team and they have played well. I think the Roosters are probably just ahead of the Storms at this stage in the competition.
Rabbitohs are the only side to beat the Roosters this year.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, let's move on. Sunday, 12 May, Rabbitohs 32, defending the Cowboys 16. For the Rabbitohs, Sam Burgess and Cam Murray both opened the accounts here and absolutely destroyed. Cody Walker again scored a try. That guy is phenomenal. Justin O'Neill bagged a double right before the break, though, bringing the Cowboys right back into it. And you thought maybe we're going to have a bit of an arm wrestle and a bit of problem in the game for the Rabbitohs. Two quick tries after the break, though, with Damian Cook just destroying, doing things that Will had the ball on a string and just had players on strings and was killing them all.
Well, yeah, even in the first half, he set up the first three tries.
Yeah.
He was the last pass, and he literally was dummy half running and just putting people in holes.
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was great. And, you know, he's the first player picked in the New South Wales State of Origin side, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you see, in the end of the first half, did you see the Michael Morgan kick that got the Jussie O try?
Yeah, got the Jussie O try. It was
pretty good.
It was ridiculous. There's no way he planned that.
They asked him at halftime.
Yeah, I know.
Darren Lockie went up and asked and said, did you mean to do that? And he said, I actually meant it to go to Felt, but he said, I meant to do the kick, yeah, but it was meant to go longer and go out to Felt. He said Jussie O got in the way, but still the same result.
I reckon it was meant to go higher and further.
Well, no, but he stabbed it, though. Yeah. When you have a look at it, like, he didn't actually go up and under it. He actually stabbed it across, so... He said the kick was meant to be that kick, but it just was meant to go longer.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, look, great try. I thought it was awesome.
It was very lucky because the trajectory of it was very low. I thought it was supposed to go higher and longer. And
are you saying that
fortune favors the brave, Muffy?
Well, they needed something to come off because they were absolutely getting killed, and it got them back to within 6 points, I think, at the break.
Mm. That's right. No, they were, and it was a much closer game. It was, but then South just came out second half and killed it off pretty quickly. Tom Opachick scored a late one in the game. South only had 47% of the possession, and still won the game.
Yeah, that's surprising me. They only had that. I mean, but yes, obviously obviously they didn't get many points scored against them, so their defense was quite strong.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that brings us to the end of Magic Round. Disappears for a year.
You wanted me to have a Magic Round sound effect? Yeah, I don't have one.
Okay, good.
I have this instead.
The Sports Trench.
Thank you, madam. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about Origin selections and a couple of the questions I'm going to ask. So one is, who is your must-have bolter for each of the squads? All right. So I'll go first. I think New South Wales, their bolter has to be Cody Walker. I can't see how you cannot pick him.
Mm.
I would put him in the centres. I honestly would.
No.
I would.
No.
He's just, he defends in the line anyway. What's the difference pushing him out to centres?
So you're saying that there's no other centres? He would be the better option over two of the best centres that New South Wales can find.
I think that Queensland spent years and years picking players out of position who were just the best players. And I think Cody Walker is one of the best players in the game at the moment.
Oh, look, I don't disagree that he's one of the best players. It's been no secret that I had a bit of a man crush on Cody Walker for the last couple of years. Or maybe it was a secret. You're looking like you're shocked. I think he's great, and I think he definitely deserves a spot.
I don't think he's a 20-minute utility player.
I think having a utility player in Origin, a backline utility player in Origin is a waste of time, because you're banking on injury, which I don't think is ever a good time.
So I think he has to be picked as that other center. I honestly think he is.
I want him in the team.
Gutherson's played 11 matches as a center and is very average as a center.
And how many matches has Cody Walker played as a center?
Zero. Exactly. How good is Cody Walker at football? Yeah. Phenomenally.
He's
good.
Great. Like, not saying that, but I don't think you can put someone that's completely untested in a position.
They played Dugan there completely untested after he was playing fullback his whole career, and then they put him as a center.
And how was he? Rubbish.
He was, but he's no Cody Walker. Cody Walker's better than Dugan.
Oh, 100%. And Dugan's an idiot.
Yeah, I honestly and 100% believe he should be in the starting side at centre.
Right. Okay.
That's my bolter for New South Wales.
Okay. Look, I don't disagree. I think Cody Walker should be there. What about Adam Reynolds as the half? I know there's been talk and the other one, Fittler, came out last year and said you need to stick. But there's been speculation already. I think Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker, there's your halves.
Keary has to be picked. Keary is by far, the second best half in the game at the moment. He is.
So who's the first?
I would be saying,
Cody Walker. Well, hang on. You've just come out and said that Cody Walker is best at football.
I'd still say and Gronk saying is probably number one in the halves. And then I would say Keary, and then I would say Cody Walker.
No, Cody Walker is better than Keary.
No way. He's not a game-managing half, and you need a game-managing half.
No way.
And
you have just come out and spouted how much you love Keary Cody Walker.
Keary has more try assists. Keary has better kick meters. Keary has all these better stats as a half than Cody Walker. Now,
no, he doesn't.
I like Cody Walker.
I haven't the stats in front of me, but I think some of them might be a lie.
I like Cody Walker, but I am not picking him in front of Keary.
Well, yeah, I don't think Cody Walker can be in the centres. I want him in the team, and I think I want him in the team at 5'8". And I think if Reynolds is the halfback, I think there's your combo, bang, straight away.
No.
Could you imagine Cook at hooker, Reynolds at half, and Cody Walker at 5'8".
I agree.
That's, there's your cohesion right there.
It's a really nice one.
Picks itself.
I would be picking Keary because Keary and Teddy just as effective as those other guys are, and Damian Cook's effective with anyone. So I don't think that's an issue. I think Keary has been by far one of the best players in the game at the moment, and that injury that took him out for a couple of weeks was the only thing that's stopping him from going on a rampage. I think Cody Walker's game would get found out at that Origin level in the halves. Whereas I think Keary's game is probably suited to that style of game managing. Got a kick for positioning, and Keary is a very good kicker. And having said that, like if you pick Keary, Reynolds and Keary used to play together, and Cook. So,
well, that's true.
I don't think that combination matters. I want Cody Walker in the team. I'm picking him as a center.
All right. Well, my bolter is Reynolds. I think Reynolds will get the nod over the incumbent, Cleary.
Well, considering, there was an article coming out saying that he needs to see more from Maloney and Cleary, Fittler, I think that's the writing on the wall.
Well, I don't think it's writing on the wall. It's basically just a little bit of a, come on.
It's a nudge for the incumbents, but I think that's the writing on the wall as well, because if you don't, that's it. He goes, all right, well, you didn't do it.
So do you think Maloney's out regardless?
No.
So you still think Maloney's? You don't think? Do you think he's front running for that 5'8" spot just because he's an incumbent, or you think Cleary is by far and away?
I think Cleary's the front runner, but I don't know why, because I don't think he's been very good. But I think the two of them probably still have the tickets on those jerseys.
Interesting.
Anyway, Queensland bolter, and I read this one the other day, and I really like it. Reid Mahoney for hooker.
I did read that the other day. But that just means that they're struggling.
I know they're struggling, but I love it. Like, I'm all in on it. I love him. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, I think he's good.
You know what McCulloch is. You know what Jake Friend is. Like, you know what all these other guys are. And are they really going to be that much better at Origin level? No. Pick him. You don't know what you've got there. And considering all the injuries and stuff like that, I think he's a good bolter to pick.
Yeah, I don't look, and but it goes to the fact that, obviously Jake Friend, is he still injured?
He's out. Yeah. Pectoral, he's out for a long time. That's bicep, one of the two.
Yeah, look, you just think they got no one else. Not saying that I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve it, but first year of first grade football, going in.
They could find someone else. They could move Ben Hunt, like that, which is what's been talked about. So Ben Hunt.
But it just means they're going to have another hooker type player on the bench, because they're going to need someone. They're going to need a 20-minute player to play that hooking role, which you can't put Maguire or something.
I reckon
in there
they're
going to
potentially pick Milford in that spot again, like that interchange one. They'll move one of the halves. They've done that before in the past. I think they honestly will go with Ben Hunt. I can't see how they don't.
In the halves or as a hooker?
In the hooking spot.
So then your bolter doesn't get in there.
No, I know. But I want him. That's why I'm saying he's a bolter, because I think he should be picked. You're saying that they've got no one else.
Yeah.
I'm saying they will pick Ben Hunt there, no matter what.
And so their utility will be a Milford or like one of those sort of slighter bench players.
Yeah, exactly. And I honestly believe that.
Do you reckon they'd be better served to go, if they want to do a utility player, someone like the youngster, like a youngster that's got a bit more beef, like Katoni Staggs or someone like that? Do you think they might look at sort of blooding a... Yes, he's a versatile player. He's not a half, but he can play in the second row. He can play in the... You can shuffle people around to put him in the wing. You can put him in centres.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that...
I mean, they've got big raps. Like, the Broncos have got big raps on him.
Yeah. Look, if that's your bolter, like,
hey,
fair enough.
Why not? He's, you know, it's bolting.
Is he New Zealander?
Staggs. I don't think he is he?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was a... I'm pretty sure... Well, if he is New Zealand, it doesn't stop him from playing for Queensland. He's still eligible.
Yeah, well, that's... This is true. Anyone's eligible for Queensland. All right. Well, moving on then. Couple of quick other questions. Should New South Wales change a winning side barring injury? And can Queensland win with all the injuries they currently have?
Okay, I'll address your first question. Look, I would... Barring injuries, I don't think New South Wales should change a lot. Yes, we've just talked about the halves being... which is a key point. The problem that we've always had and people have had with New South Wales is they've had too many changes every season when they were losing. So I understand why people are still talking, because we're so used to picking the halves for New South Wales every single year. We don't have a go-to halves pairing. So I get why everyone's still talking about, you know, different halves, but I think there is merit with the guys that won last year and did a pretty decent job. And Fittler saying the same thing, you know, at the start of last season, that he needs to give players time in the roles. So I think what they will do, barring injury, is actually pretty well stick to that same 17 players.
I think they're going to keep those halves.
I think Peachy's out, though. I think
Peachy's out.
He's out. So, but that's not injury. So they'll find someone else, whether they bring in...
I reckon it'll be Cody Walker. I reckon Cody Walker will get picked for that.
Yeah, look, and again... I think he needs to be in the side somewhere, but I would put him at 5'8". But we've already had a discussion. Can Queensland win? Of course they can. Queensland can do anything. They've shown that year on, year out. They can do anything with anyone that gets on that paddock, because they just have this... they just grow an extra leg and have a superpower as soon as they put on the maroon jersey. So, yes, they are behind the eight ball, and they literally will go into every single game as big underdogs. But we've seen that time and time again. And that hasn't deterred or stopped Queensland. They've got, you know, obviously, I think if you look at the positions, I think they've got the best fullback. They will have the best fullback in the game currently. I think he's playying hands down much better than Teddy. Hands down.
Ooh.
Have you seen him play? Like,
oh, no,
since
yeah.
Since he's been shifted to fullback, he is phenomenal. Like, I think he's a better fullback currently. Not saying... from their careers, but at this point, he's better than Teddy as fullback.
Ooh-wee. It's a big hot take there.
And I think Munster is, you know, he's a hog. He doesn't pass very much, but geez, he's
the strongest man in the world.
Absolutely.
Like, he can fend every single person off every single time he tries to get tackled.
So I think he's got the wood on Keary or Walker in 5'8". Depending on who New South Wales pick, they might have the edge there. And then hooker, definitely. New South Wales have got it. So in those key positions, I think, you know, there's some wins and some losses for both teams. And, of course, Queensland can do it. Like, you know, we've seen Dan Gagai. He's been doing not a great deal this year for South. But you watch him in, you know, game one of Origin, he will, you know, no doubt be Queensland's best player yet again, because that's just what he does.
Yeah, I don't disagree with all those things, so I think we can probably then move on to the next segment.
Yeah, I haven't got anything organized. What is the next segment? What are we
doing? Round 10 preview time.
Okay.
And you're up first, so you better get yourself ready.
Do you want me to do a little swoosh or no?
Nah, screw it. Thursday. Swoosh. Dear Lord, you're not supposed to say swoosh.
I swooshed it.
Okay, good. Thursday, 16 May, Storms versus the Tigers at Amy Murphy.
For the Storms, as Pete's mentioned earlier in that massive Ward 4, Jerome Hughes is out, pretty much having his face reassigned back on his shoulders after that hit. Curtis Scott is also out. So that opens the door for one of our favourites here at the trench. Ryan Papahoosen will start at fullback. And Marion Sivi, who is not great, comes back into the centres in first grade. And Patrick Kafusi comes onto the bench. For the West Tigers, Josh Aloi returns from last week. He had a concussion and he's over that. And Oliver Clark is the man that makes way for him. Both of these sides had big wins last week. I don't know whether that should come into play. This is at Amy Park. Storms versus West Tigers, I think it's a no-brainer, honestly. The Tigers have been playing better, but I don't think they are at the calibre of the Storms. I don't think this will be a blowout. I think both teams will put in a pretty good performance, but I think the last 20 minutes, the Storm will control this game and go away with an 8-point win.
Bellamy has a 9-1 coaching record over Maguire. Storms by 10. Friday, 17 May, Panthers versus the Warriors at Panthers. Panthers, so many changes. Why? Dylan Edwards returns at fullback. Brian comes on.
I think the last one was correct.
Yeah, good. Comes onto the wing after Mansour was dropped. Wonga Blake returns in the centres after being dropped for disciplinary reasons. Liam Martin is back after a one-match suspension. Sione Katoa comes in for the dropped Wade Egan. RCG has also been dropped for the Warriors. They're unchanged, although Roach and Harris could be late withdrawals. I do not trust the Warriors at all. Panthers were horrendous last week. Maybe they turn it around. They're at home going against everything I think I should, and I'm going to go the Panthers by 6. Panthers have won their last 7 against the Warriors at home.
Yeah, this is a horrible game. The only I'm going to go the Panthers just because of the massive, massive shake-up that they've had. Surely that has to put a rocket up them. Surely that is... Every time teams have a huge shake-up or the coach gets booted mid-season, the next game they come out and play well. So that's all I'm banking this on. Nothing else. I don't have anything else to go on because this could be... a 20-point win either way, or it could be, you know, a 1-point win either way. Look, it's who knows. I'm going to go the Panthers. Would you go on by 6? I think I'm going to go on by 8. Just, I don't know. I'm not confident at all.
I don't know why you went 8 then. You went higher. Friday, 17 May, Broncos versus the Roosters at Suncorp. Muffy.
Well, I said 8 because the Panthers are going to take the 2 points to start their scoring.
And then they're going to lose the game.
No, they're going to win
every time.
They're going to buck the trend and win.
99% of the time, it works every time.
No, they're going to buck the trend. This is how crazy that game's going to be.
All right.
So Broncos Roosters. So the Broncos, they lost Jack Bird, and he will be out for the season. We assume with that. What was it? An Achilles? No.
ACL.
Yeah, it's a shame. It was a bad injury too. Everyone fell on him. It didn't look good. Anyway, that forces a reshuffle, and, you know, we've met many fans of the show are getting a run this week. Giramat Shibasaki moves from the wing into the centres, and Jermaine Asako comes back onto the wing after being ousted last week, being dropped. James Roberts remains on the outer. He's not starting in this side, and Seguiara has been named in number 18 on the reserve, so maybe a chance to come in.
Yeah, I think he probably will.
Yes. And for the Roosters, as a force change for them, their captain, Boyd Cordner, had a concussion, and so Mitch Orbison will come into the back row. Lindsay Collins goes onto the bench, and their high-profile buy from England has been named in the reserves, Ryan Hall. So there's a chance that he may come back in. He's recovering from an ACL, so maybe they're just putting him in there just to give him a bit of a run, but I'd be surprised if he comes in this week. He's probably going to be another couple of weeks, but it'll be exciting to see him on the paddock whenever he gets the chance. This one's in Suncorp. Broncos will have a lot of confidence from last week. The Roosters, again, will go into this game confident, but being wary of the way that they played in the second half, and hopefully that doesn't recur. But I think you have to go the Roosters, even though it is at the Broncos have, you know, they've had a couple of good games, but they're still finding their feet in for this season. So I have to go the Roosters by 6.
Yeah, I've got the Roosters by 8. Saturday, 18 May, Titans versus the Bulldogs at Cbus. For the Titans, AJ Brimson starts for the injured Michael Gordon. $2 Tyrone returns at 5-8. Shannon Boyd has been named on the bench with Futuyaka named to start. For the Bulldogs, another week, another bunch of changes. Foran and Cogger swap jerseys. Corey Harawira and Naira returns, which means Chris Smith moves to the bench. Reece Martin has been named on the bench. Danny Fualalo replaces the injured Adam Elliott. I could see the Bulldogs winning this game. Don't believe it, though, so I'm going to go the Titans by 4.
No, Dogs have got something to prove. Dogs by 8.
Nah, they got nothing.
You've got nothing.
Saturday, 18 May, Cowboys versus the Eels at 1300. Smiles, Muffy.
For the Cowboys, there's no changes. However, Granville has been named to start at hooker, but he was named that last week, and they started Kurt Baptiste, which was a massive, massive no-no, because as soon as Granville came on in the game last week, there was an instant change in the Cowboys, and then they scored 2 tries. So he is named to start. Hopefully that will stay the same, and Baptiste will come off the bench. For the Eels, obviously, there's a fair bit of movement. George Jennings coming onto the wing in replace of Sivo, who's been suspended. Josh Hoffman comes into the centres. Will Smith has been named at starting 5-8 instead of Jamin Salmon.
No.
Yeah. I thought he was in the wilderness, but he's back. He's in the wilderness.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of Fools' favorites, Jamin Salmon, has been dropped to the reserves. So he's going to go back and
Cayman Salmon. Yeah.
He's going to go learn his trade a bit more and ply his craft down the reserves, and maybe he'll be back in first grade a little bit later. So what else have we got for the Eels? Mau Mau comes in at lock, and Tempoi Moroa drops to the bench. Is it just me, or is Tempoi Moroa just one of these really, really average middling forwards that always seems to get a run in? Like, he does nothing.
Correct.
He does absolutely nothing. Anyway.
Correct.
Terapo is another one. Anyway, I digress. So, Reed Marnie will start at hooker, and as I just mentioned, Penny Terapo is back to the bench. It's up at 1300. Smiles. Cowboys, Eels. Surely the Eels have got to bounce back, but again, I don't know. I'm tempted to go the Cowboys with this one. Don't know why. Just tempted. A lot of turmoil in the Eels, and particularly
you need to pick someone.
I know. I'm my demons are fighting at the moment. I'm actually going to go. I don't know whether I'm assuming it's an upset. I'm going an upset and going the Cowboys by 6.
Eels by 4.
Ooh.
Saturday, 18 May, Raiders versus the Rabbitohs at GIO. For the Raiders, Simonson comes onto the wing for the injured Rapana, and Kotrick moves to the centres with Oldfield out to the wing. For the Rabbitohs, Corey Allen replaces Johnston at fullback. Maweni Hiroti comes onto the wing. Classic George Burgess has been named to start, but will most likely swap with Totola at the start of the game. Raiders aren't beating this Rabbitohs side, and just based on the fact that this Rabbitohs side's better than us. Rabbitohs by 8.
A bit of history in this game, Pete. It's been touted as the Battle of Breton.
It has not.
It has been.
No one has touted that.
First time ever that an NRL match will see 6 English players start in a game.
It could have been 7 if Bateman wasn't injured.
That's right. So, yeah, Battle of Breton down there in the bush capo. I can't believe you just dismissed the Raiders. I think the Raiders are a chance in this one.
You're incorrect.
I'm going to go the Bunnies by 4.
Yeah. You are incorrect, you moron.
I said they were a chance. I didn't say they were going to win.
Sunday, 19 May, Dragons versus the Knights at Glen Willow. Mudgy Muffy is where Glen Willow is.
It's honey territory, isn't it, Mudgy?
Sure.
Wine, honey.
You're telling me. You can tell me.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Look, Dragons have gone in with an unchanged lineup for this game. The only possible change will be Corbin Sims, who's been named in the reserves, who may come back into the side. And also for the Knights, they've done exactly the same thing. They've named an unchanged team. This is going to be a cracker game, I think. I'm looking forward to this.
No.
Nah. Don't like it.
Nah. Don't like it.
All right, I'm going the Knights. I'm all on the Knights now. I was off the Knights. Like 3 weeks ago, the Knights were the worst team in history. Now, they're playing well. And I think it's all on the back of Ponga. So I'm going to go the Knights by 6.
Dragons by 4.
Nah.
Sunday, 19 May, Sharks versus the Seagulls at PointsBet. For the Sharks, no changes despite the concerns for Fifita and Pryor. Seagulls, Dylan Walker comes in for Suli, Croker and Fanua Blake. And Tafua all return, which is good because Sipley is gone. Look, I don't know. I honestly don't know with this game. I'm going to tip the Sharks by 4, but I've got no confidence in anything.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to the Sharks. But again, this is another horrible game. This is like it's bookended with two horrible games. Yeah, I'm going to have to go to the Sharks by 10. Let's say they're going to give them a bit of a...
Oh, a bit of a whistle. Yep. All right. Let's move on then, shall we, and bust through some Supercoach.
Are we going to do Supercoach? We're going to bust through.
We're going to.
I didn't set it
we
up.
We haven't done it for like 3 weeks.
It always gets bumped.
Yeah, I know. We've got to do it.
The Sports Trenches Fantasy Overview.
All right. A few results. Sports Trench League 1. I lost to the top of the table, Arkhams. I had 1385 and lost. You had 1084 and won. You were rubbish. That is crap. Absolutely ridiculous. You beat the Trendy Tragics and they are tragic. The B Trench Invaders beat Sicario. He had 1405. Little Rangers did. And Chuck Person, our own African safariist.
He smoked it.
14-27.
I played him in another league.
And he
in
beat
another
the
league.
Demos.
Yeah.
Sports Trench League 2, I beat the Barbarians because I had 1385 and should have beat a number of people. Barbecue for 1 got smoked by the Silent Gun like he should have in Sports Trench League 1. B Trench beat Superfly Shenko. And Chuck Person beat Dun-Dun-Dun. Yeehaw! Just had to do that because of that team name. All right, the ladder at the moment, Arkhams is 7-0 in League 1. Trench Invaders are 6-1. Number of other teams on 5-2. I'm 2-5 after that loss, which was ridiculous. Muffy's just behind, also on 2-5. 15th, 14th and 15th. We're not looking good there, my friend.
Yeah.
Sports Trench League 2. The Wood Raiders are 7-0. The B Trench Invaders 6-1. Rangers is killing it this year. As soon as he gets off the pod, he's actually good.
Yeah.
Chuck Person, he's 4-3. He's in 5th. Muffy's in 9th, but he's also on 4-3, but his points difference is not good.
Right.
I'm on 3-4 and in 12th, so I'm still a chance in that one. I think League 2 is where it's at. I think you said that earlier this year, and yeah. I think you're right. Matchups this week, Sports Trench League 1, Pablo's play the very own same game multi-man, Garth the Burninators. Barbecue for 1 plays Bronchosaurus Rex. The Demos play the B-Trench Invaders. And Chuck Person will be playing with Slippery Balls in Africa. Sports Trench League 2, Pablo's play Top China Dragons. Barbecue for 1 play Superfly Shenko. B-Trench Invaders play Tokoroa Waterfalls. Chuck Person plays Casey Clippers. And dun-dun-dun, yeah, plays the 2019 sellouts. All right, tipping comp. Muffy, what do you got for us?
Tip of the bat, still at the top, 51 points, tip 7 last week. Apparently I was the only one that didn't tip 6 or 7 last week. Haynes Lunch in 2nd on 50 points, the Premium Dan on 49, that's Matt, the Hayne Payne on 49, Joe's Ghost on 47, the Hot Snakes in position 6 on 47, Damn Tips is also on 47, and the Pablo's on 47, round out the top 8 in the tipping comp. Down to the bottom of the ladder where we all are interested to see what's happening.
No one is except for you.
Raven Radby's 38. They bring up the rear. Maximilian on 39. Barbecue for 1 has jumped up to 17th spot. Jumped up a spot here.
And you're only one spot behind Fulzy. He talked a little bit of trash.
41, yeah. Chuck Person on 42. So I am 10 points off the leader.
Yeah, you're done.
But I need some just to get a couple of bonus points. How come you've got some bonus points? What's happened here? You've got, according to this, you've had 2 bonus points. How does that work? Because don't you have to pick a perfect round to get a bonus?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. Fulzy set it up.
Anyway. So that's the update for Tipping Comp. So for all those listeners, Barbecue for 1 is moving up the ladder, which is what everyone wants to hear.
No one cares. All right. Let's move on then, shall we, to Simona says Grevers should gamble.
I'll find it in a sec, Pete. It's coming.
So,
show me the money!
What you gonna do, Gary?
Show me the money!
Do you realize you're up this week?
No. My tip is don't gamble, everybody. If you're not prepared, don't gamble. That's my tip. Don't just pull one out of the hat if you're not ready, because you're going to lose.
Do you want me to come up with one, or are you going to come up with one whilst I do the same game multi?
I've just said don't gamble if you're not prepared.
Look, I'll come up with one. The same game multi bet this week, courtesy of League Legends Facebook page guru Garth. Panthers-Warriors game, over 39.5. RTS anytime try scorer. Warriors 11-20. Warriors 5-8 at the half. Fusatua anytime try scorer. 25 houses get you 4,775 houses. This goes against what I'm tipping for the tipping comp, though.
Are you on it, though?
I'm going to get on it, but I'm also going to tip the Panthers because I'm not silly.
He's picked a weird game to go for, but that's obviously where the dollars are because it's a very up-and-down game. But, yeah, it's not...
It's an interesting
one. Maybe you should go for like a game that's like a certain winner. Pick a certain winner game. It's probably the Roosters Broncos maybe, and then just have a dabble at that.
Just have a dabble at that, you reckon?
Oh, just to get you back on your feet, Garth. You know, he hasn't had a lot of wins recently.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, Muffy, did you come up with something or what?
No. I didn't because I'm not prepared.
You're not going to do it. You're just not.
Oh, no. Well, I can't go against my own advice, can I?
That's true. Look, all right, I'll give you a tip, all right? The Goodwood, Morphettville, race 7 on Saturday.
Wow.
Yep, well...
Remember what I said when you're not prepared, folks? I'd be turning off right now. There's literally this, and then there's some end music, and then you can just go. So I'd go now.
Yep, I'm going to go Sprite. Number 2, Sprite. Had a good win at the track last trip.
At Morphettville.
Yep.
Yes, because that's where all the good ones go.
This is a group one, my friend. It won its last group one at Adelaide as well. You need to calm down.
At Adelaide where?
Morphettville. Both of them were group ones.
In Adelaide. Isn't that class as like, you know, in the world stage?
It's a group one.
Does that class as like, you know.
It's a group
like
one.
Like a plate or something. Like a handicap 64, whatever that is.
Again,
I don't know what that is.
I will say it's a group one race. Like... Sprite came from Sydney, like Damien Oliver on board.
Seems like the regulations are a bit more relaxed in Adelaide.
What are you talking about? You're insane. Anyway, that's what I'm going with.
Right.
That's what we're going with. Next week when I won you $1 million, you can all thank me.
So what's the odds on that one? I didn't actually.
$3.90.
Oh, please.
It's good odds. Last start group one winner. I'll take that. Anyway.
Good.
That brings us to the end of the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the show. Only 6 more weeks or 6.5 more weeks without Foolsy.
So is that long?
Mm.
Oh, dear.
Gone for 2 months.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's just you and me talking to each other in the morning.
Oh, well, we can handle it. Like our own breakfast show.
All right. Thanks very much for listening. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I gotta wait till the chorus bit. It's a bit of a long intro, this one.